Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. That's right. It's absolutely what the Word of God says. It's actually what we're going to discuss in one way or another. We have eternal life now. And the way that this message began was loving on a puppy. And what gave birth to the message was last night as I was laying down, the thought came to me that a lot of times people think puppies are nice, but they turn into dogs. And I thought, you know, there's a Christian parallel to that. And that is that sometimes new Christians are nice, but they turn into old Christians. And don't be an old Christian. Be an older person, but don't be an old Christian. Because here's the deal. You and I all know that we don't even like it when we get to be old Christians. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, I know that. We've been called into a wonderful life. Yeah, I know that. You know? But I'm a mature Christian, and I'm just waiting to get out of here. My advice, get out. Go ahead. Not you, Rachel. You don't qualify as an old Christian. But, you know, you think about that. When you came to know God, sometime back we talked about what happened. You know, we talked about something had to happen. If nothing happened, nothing's happened. You know? There had to come a time when we realized, wow, God is. Didn't understand a thing, but it was cool. You know? I mean, that's it. You see sometimes, you see people that go to an altar call at a convention or something like that, and you know that they are visibly touched by God. They feel the joy. They feel everything. But somehow overnight they become an old Christian. They let that newness and that excitement and that love and that joy and that assurance and that confidence be stolen by the king of doubt. You know, well, maybe it's just this, you know. Sometimes people want to receive speaking in tongues, and they receive speaking in tongues, but then they doubt how real it is, and so they don't let it out. Don't nurture it. Don't let it go. You know? And so instead of that puppy love, we turn into old dogs. They can doubt. You know? I write to you, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write to you who believe in the Son of God. I write so you will know you have eternal life now. We can come to God with no doubts. Yeah! We can come with no doubts, but then we get to be old dogs and we start to figure it out. And we start to try to decide, why does God do this and why doesn't he do this? And, well, you know, we just never know. And once we enter into just we just never know, we just never know. Then it becomes hit. And mostly hit and miss, not hit or miss. Then it becomes going through the actions. Then it becomes, well, maybe, you know, in Holy, 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 it says, though the darkness hide thee. You want to know something? When it's really dark, that would be when I would pray the most. I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. But if ever I had any moments of prayer as a child, it was in the dark. I didn't like the dark. So whether I was saying, oh, Lord, help me or not, I was just hoping to get home. You know? If I'd have had a chainsaw, I'd have sawed down every bush that was next to the sidewalk when I was growing up, because I was sure there was something behind every bush. I don't know why, but here's the deal, that we're not to lose our first love. We're supposed to, that was one thing in Revelation, is that I got this against you, you lost your first love. The first love trusts. The first love is sure. The first love says, I don't understand it, but it's good. You know? And I know the Bible says get understanding. But get understanding doesn't mean learn to scrutinize. Get understanding doesn't mean to dissect the word and try to figure out, you know, which parts are for you and which parts aren't. Let every word of God be true and every man a liar. So then our part is to just continue on with what we've found. Not grow out of it. See, I was holding the puppy. Yes, Vicky has a new puppy. It was a rescue thing, and I love that puppy, and I'm so glad that she decided to keep that puppy. I like puppies. But you know what? When they become dogs, I still treat them like dogs. When I go to see Allie, I don't walk out there and say, "Oh, you old dog. You're just an old dog, Allie. You're no good anymore. You're just an old dog." No. You know, bring the puppy out in them. Well, I think that's what the Holy Spirit does for us, is tries to bring the puppy out in us. The pick me up, come to me, jump up. I'll roll over for you. I'll do something, you know? Well, people say, yeah, we enjoy puppies, but they become dogs. Why do they become dogs? Because we make them dogs. And that's a lot of times I'm afraid what the church does is make Christians dogs, or old Christians, you know? Now that we've matured. I'm not trying to say that old Christians are dogs, okay? I'm just trying to say that, okay? But I'm trying to say this, is that, you know, it's like, well, now that we've matured, we've moved beyond that. So we've moved beyond into dead, dry, and nobody likes us anymore? What about the joy of the Lord is my strength? You know? You just got to know about, gee, you know, yesterday, I think, I stopped and talked to a couple guys I haven't talked to for a long, long time. And they seemed to want to talk to me. I kept thinking I should let them go. Ah, we ain't got that much to do. You know, I think it's the Holy Spirit drawing people, just a chance to plant some seed, and all of a sudden those seeds will come up. Now, if we have that confidence and we have that hope, then it's all joy. But if, on the other hand, I've talked to them before. I don't know if they'd do any good, you know. I'm wiser than that. I don't want to cast pearls before swine. How do you know who's swine and who's not? You know? You got plenty of pearls to go around. You know, to just go ahead and just, because you've got all this love in you, that love has been shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us, and so we've got this, and so we maintain our exuberance and our puppiness. You know? Now, I don't expect you to go up and down the streets like this and have somebody say, "What are you doing?" You know? But it might not be bad. Well, I'm just a puppy for Jesus. You know? I'm stirring up that old love, that first love. I'm going back to that. Because here I am, I'm holding this puppy, and I like this puppy. And I am. I'm a puppy breath addict. If they would bottle it, I'd spray it on. Now, you may not enjoy being around me then, but I'd be sniffing myself for real. Not just checking to see if I put on my stuff, you know? But, you know, I mean, it's really cool. And so I'm sitting and I'm just holding that. And I really am. I'm thanking God for the puppy. People go, "Thank God for puppies?" I thank God for everything, you know? But I am, because this was just really nice. And he was licking my ear, you know, and just loving on that puppy. And I thought about how, you know, that, you know, sometimes Rachel, now Rachel's been worked in daycares way too long. This thing's a puppy and she's trying to train it. No, no, no. Why tell it no? It'll grow up. Give it a chance. No, no puppy, no. But she likes the puppy, which is a little bit of a rarity for her. She's usually kicking the dogs, you know, just keep them away. No, not always, but a lot. She, you know, it's like, "Can Daisy sleep with you can Annie sleep with you while Shiloh's here?" No. I mean, we don't even ask, you know. In with mom and dad, you know, that's okay. But Vicky says, "I hate dogs sleeping with us." I like them. This little puppy curls up on my neck, scratches me. I wake up in the night to try to find him, make sure that he's okay. I don't go, "Oh, that stinking dog." I like the puppy. You know, that puppy can pee on the floor. Oh, well, he's just a puppy, you know. Yeah, you know, I mean, that just, you know, I don't know. I just got so much of the love of God, I can't even get mad at a puppy. No, but, you know, and so I'm kind of, all of this is kind of going through my mind, and I'm thinking about this, and God says, I love you like a puppy. Oh, wow, you know. And I didn't even think then about being careful not to become an old dog. But I just thought about then, okay, how am I with that? I hold that puppy, you know. I talk to that puppy. I ain't worried about that puppy, you know, when that puppy's going to get trained. I'm not worried about when that puppy's going to act perfect. I don't even think about that. I'm just thinking about, I like this puppy, and do we have puppy breath yet, you know? Do we like, you know, and I think that God has that much confidence in his ability and in what he's put in us. He doesn't sit around and worry, oh, dear, this one's just going to become an old Christian. Amen. You know, I don't know. I mean, that was what he did with Israel. He said, I'm sick of all you old people. You know, I'm just going to kill y'all because you're just rotten. Now, I'm not saying God wants to kill all old Christians, okay? But I'm saying that the Bible does say, stir up the gift that is within you. You know, whatever means you can. I know sometimes, I you know, people just wonder about where these thoughts come from in my mind. And I say they come from God. But I think God just gives me a lot of stuff to just paint a picture for people so that people can look at it and say, you know, that could be me. Now, I realize that putting out a devotion on the internet that says, be careful, Christians are becoming old dogs, that somebody is going to, how dare you call me an old dog? That's okay. You know? But if the shoe fits, wear it. Maybe it'll stir you to think, God, that's me. I'm an old dog. I'm just waiting to get out of here. I don't smile because I don't think I got anything to smile about. I'm not sure God even hears me. I hardly pray anymore, but I'm a Christian. So if one person gets stirred up and says, I'm a puppy for the Lord now, man, it was okay if 1,000 say, that is about the stupidest thing I've ever read. I don't care. Because I want to offer people the opportunity. I want us to be puppy-like love for the Lord. You know, puppies learn fast. You know, it's like this little puppy now knows that when it comes in from going potty, it's got a really good treat coming. But it also knows that Vicky likes it to have some dry food first. So it runs over, grabs a piece of dry food, says, there, I had my piece of dry food. Where's my real stuff? Now, he's already got dancing on two legs going. He's probably going to be on, you know, America Has Talent. I don't know. She, little Mia. Mamma mia, mia. But you know, the thing is that she understands that, and I suspect she'll still be doing the same thing 10 years from now. You know? Unless I treat her like an old dog. Unless I quit nurturing the puppy in her. Well, you see, God never quits nurturing that young love in us. He just waits for us. You know, we sing a song that says, I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup of your hand, lean back against you, and breathe. This love is so real, it's more than I can bear. I'm telling you, some people have no idea what that's about. Because everything else has blocked out that love, that confidence, that assurance, that you're all I need, you're all I ever wanted. Things block us off. I read a devotion this morning, and Joyce Meyer was talking about, she loved the story about the donkey that was in the hole, and the guy couldn't get the donkey out of the hole, so he asked his friends to help him just bury the donkey, because he couldn't get the donkey out, and she was old, and it wasn't going to be much anyway, and they started to throw in dirt, and at first the donkey was braying and hollering and trying, you know, just really, really upset, and then the donkey got quiet. And they just kept throwing dirt on, and the donkey kept shaking the dirt off its back, kept shaking the dirt off its back, kept shaking the dirt off its back, and stepping up, shaking the dirt off its back, and stepping up, shaking the dirt off its back, and stepping up until it stepped out of the hole. you know. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. You know, that's what puppy love does. You know, puppy love ain't all bad. People talk about puppy love. Oh, that's puppy love. I'll tell you what. If people wouldn't become old love and keep their puppy love, they'd stay pretty excited. You know? I remember puppy love. You could tell me it was puppy love, but it was a real thing while it lasted. And it's the fun love. It's the funnest. You think about it. That puppy love is the funnest. Oh, but you've got to grow up. That reminds me when I first met Jesus and I just couldn't quit smiling and I kept telling people at that old church where we were, man, if we got the best message, why are you so sour? And they thought sour at me, you know. And then they told me, they said, now, Brother Day, you're in the honeymoon stage. It'll wear off. Sorry. It just didn't work out that way. But now, let's just make it a real clear illustration about that. You know, most people really look forward to the honeymoon. And hopefully really enjoy the honeymoon. Why let it end? Become old dogs. Old Christians. And if that's the case, then other people see it and say, why would I want to be that? You used to be happy. You used to be excited. You used to talk about the Lord all the time. What happened to you? I matured. Well, I don't want to grow up. And I want the Holy Spirit to wash over me and remind me if I'm growing up. Because I like puppies. And puppies are kind of like babies, you know. Most everybody thinks babies are cute. Babies really bother some people, you know. Don't like babies, you know. If you don't like babies, I wonder if you'll like them when they get older. Not everybody loves puppies. But most intelligent people do. Kidding. the only reason anybody doesn't love a puppy is because they already got them made into a dog. You know? It's just going to be a dog. You know? I mean, it's just going to be a dog. Man. You know, Linda, you never thought Dorn would grow up and be an old guy, did you? I don't want to meddle here. I don't want to meddle here. Vicky confessed last week that she'd been trying for 40 years to change John and she has given up. But you notice she said that when he wasn't here. So I'm not exactly sure. I didn't record that, bro. But she did say that she likes you just the way you are. I love you just the way you are. But there's just this one thing, honey. I love you fine, but you need to fix this. Not about you. You're her handyman. We'll leave it at that. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing of being cautious that in our maturing that our faith doesn't grow old. Because you see, in our maturing, what we do is we mature, we know him better. And with everything that we know more of him, we should become more excited. Not more settled. Not more reserved. We should become more enthusiastic. Because if somehow in your walk with God, you have come to the place where you're not surprised or excited by him still, then you've lost something. Because he never ceases to amaze. And when we have that anticipation, when we have that expectancy in us that he's going to amaze us again, that there's something even better, now then we're watching for the something even better. Even if it's just a, I love you like you love that puppy. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, that's enough to make you not want to be an old dog, to be loved like a puppy. You know? I don't want to be accused of losing my first love. I'd rather be accused of just still being infatuated forever than have somebody say, you've just really matured. Yes, we need to grow up. But in our growing up, we can't grow out of what God first intended. Because when we do, then we can't come to Him any longer without doubts. Not because He's changed, but because we've changed. Then we come to Him not so sure, because we're not so sure why this didn't work or why that didn't work, why this person didn't get healed, why that person didn't get provided for, why this, why that. And so we come hoping something could happen. At least we're praying. That's better than a lot of people. I think God prefers people who don't bother to pray than people who pray not believing. Excuse me. I'm sorry, but I think that's true. I mean, wouldn't you rather not hear from somebody than hear from somebody that's doubting that you care if they hear from them? You probably don't want to talk to me, but, you know, well, maybe not. Why don't you call when you think I do want to talk to you? No. You want to have that assurance. You want to have that confidence. We want to be able to go to God without doubt, not letting anything, not letting the darkness hide the truth of His word. And being confident that God has heard us and God is doing something. Remember last week we ended up saying God's doing something. He's always doing something. So who are we to say, well, God's not doing anything? He's always doing something. And you know, when the puppy disappears, we look for him. We suspect that he's leaving us a treat. But we look for him. And I don't look for him to kick him. I look for him to pick him up and get a little puppy breath and do that. Well, you know something? God's always looking for us. God's always ready to pick us up. And when we're confident that God's always ready to pick us up, then we're not fearful when we've disappeared. We come to Him. Adam and Eve hid, and He said, Adam, where are you? Adam had just crushed the whole plan, and yet God came looking for him. And they said, well, yeah, but He threw him out of the garden. He got him out of the garden so that he wouldn't live forever the way he was now. Fearful. He said, Lord, I heard you coming and I was afraid. Oh man, God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to look for him anxiously, anticipating him. You know, when I look for this puppy and I say, Mia, Mia, come on. She just comes romp. It don't matter what she's done. She isn't, you know, sometimes she comes out and you know she did something. But you know she comes because she knows when she comes, she can jump up in my arms and I'm going to hold her. If every time she came, I just drop kicked her and said, what have you been doing now, dog? Pretty soon she'd hide and work up another treat. They do that, you know. We had a dog that used to punish us for going out and leaving her home. I know that's what she was doing. But God loves us like a puppy. God just loves us unconditionally. And He wants us to renew and restore that love, to remember that first love, remember why we first loved Him. You see, we first loved Him because we were forgiven. And we were glad to be forgiven. And we have eternal life now to figure out, man. I mean, do you ever still have moments where you go, God, I don't know why you forgave me. I mean, I know why you forgave me because you're just that way, but God, you could have had every reason to just not bother. but he did. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to remember what we were forgiven. Sometimes we need to just remember what he's already done. God, you've done this. You can. There's nothing that's impossible for you. And if you don't like what he's done for you just recently, God, you did that for them. Instead of us always looking at, man, that person died, and that person, everything fell apart, and that person, that. And so when we come to God, we base our prayers on what he's missed and not what he's done. What you want to look for is those testimonies of his amazingness. But you know what happens to old Christians? Old Christians have a tendency to look on those amazing things God has done and say, oh, I doubt it. I don't think God really did that. I think they're just saying that. Or maybe it was just the luck of the draw on that one. You know, that's what old Christians get. It just hasn't been working, and it's not going to work, and I don't even believe it worked for anybody else. Oh, you know? Hey, don't get me wrong. I have those times. I read some testimonies and I fight through the urge to think, wait a minute. I fight through it and I say, why not? Why not? I'd rather err on that side than on the other side. I don't want to be found guilty standing there going, no, God didn't really do that. If they think God did it, I'm with them. You know? You understand what I'm saying? There's that innocence, that assurance that we've come to God and we have eternal life now, and we can come to him without any doubts. And perhaps if we read it differently, we would say that he commands us, when you come to me, don't doubt. It takes effort to have faith. It takes determination to overcome those doubts, because, oh man, the enemy lurks about seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he can chew up and spit out. Man, he just looks for the tiniest bit of doubt to rush in and encourage us that you're absolutely right to doubt. Sometimes people, you know, because in dealing so much with incarcerated people, you know, it's pretty easy for them to believe that they've gone beyond the forgiveness. Last week, a guy said, when we were talking about loving God more, he said, so how do you love God more? He said, I know how to love God more, but he said, most of these guys don't even know who their dads were. Or they don't have a good dad. An example of a good dad. And I said, you know, I've given a lot of thought to that for a lot of years. And the conclusion that I've made is that everybody has had an imagination about the kind of dad they'd like to have. You get around a bunch of little kids and one kid's talking about their dad. Very seldom will you ever hear a little kid say, oh, my dad's terrible. A little kid will make up something good about their dad. You know? But I told him, the thing is if you don't have a good example, I said, think about that ideal one, that perfect one, that one that loved you, did everything for you. Think about that one and then multiply it by 1,000, because that's how God is toward you. And they could grasp that. They all acknowledged that they'd had imaginations about a real dad, a good dad, how they hoped that their dad would be. Some of them never got to meet their dads. Some of them only knew who their dads were when they found out that they had died. Some of them don't even know who all their brothers and sisters are, who they've got around the country. You know? I mean, they don't know these things, but God's steadfast and God's faithful and God is true. And if we can get our eyes on that, now then, puppy love, first love, can grow back up. If you're going to nurture something in your life, if you want something that will produce great results, stir up that first love. And even ask God for a fresh dose. I know that I've visited with people before that I can tell that they're looking at me like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Sometimes they push that aside by saying, well, you know, you were pretty bad, and I can understand you really, you know, being grateful to be forgiven. I say, boy, you're right. You're absolutely right. Those who are forgiven much love much. That terrible woman that everybody thought was so terrible that just got in his presence and just wept and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and poured expensive perfume. I mean, she was in the presence of peace and forgiveness, and Jesus said, man, you're saved. Those who have been forgiven much love much. It's understanding how much we've been forgiven that helps that too. But if we don't have much love toward him, then we haven't received much love from him. And if we haven't really experienced that great love toward us, then let's get together. That's something that's worth putting an effort into. Restore to me. David, remember David, he said, ah, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Let's do this all over again, Dad. Restore it to me. And then dance on hind legs and expect a treat. For dancing is a joy unto the Lord. He inhabits the praises of his people. Singing is a joy unto his heart. So I will sing and I will dance unto the Lord. Eternal life now. No doubts. Casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. To the obedience of Christ. Jesus never doubted his Father's love. And he had every opportunity. So, let's be new. Let's be renewed. Let's be refreshed. Let's be rejoiced. Let's be reloved. Not that his love has quit, but the darkness might be hiding it. Stir up those gifts that are within you, the gifts that were given to you by the laying on of hands. This morning I asked for all of us that God would just place his hand on us. Stir us up, Lord. How we love you and praise you and thank you and give you glory and give you honor and commit ourselves, Lord, to a first love that's better than the first love we knew in the first place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.